But what we're talking about today is the New Jerusalem. Now, the earth will go about some sort of regeneration. There'll be some geographical changes in the earth before the millennial reign begins. We know the curse is going to be done away with. The lion will lay down with the lamb, evidently eat vegetation, much like the lamb. So we know the earth's going to go some kind of a geological change. But we are told in Revelation chapter 21 that he that sat on the throne said, "Behold, I make all things," what? "New." So now we're talking about a new earth. We're not talking about an old earth that's been regenerated. We're talking about a whole new earth. And I'm thinking, if he made Jupiter to the size that it is, why couldn't he make another earth bigger than Jupiter? He can. He could, and he probably will make an earth much larger than the original. And this new earth will have no more what? No more ocean or sea. The scripture says no more sea. That's referring to the oceans. And I've said before, we have a lot of area of the earth that is not habitable. 3/4 of the earth is made up of water. It's uninhabitable. Plus you figure in the mountains and the deserts, more area of the earth that's not habitable. God's going to create a what? New earth. And I will tell you that this new earth will be habitable. It'll all be able to be used. There certainly will be water, but not near what we have in the old earth to make it inhabitable. Then there'll be this big cube. Well, we're going to get into that. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's look at verse 9. Is that where we start? I believe. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls, as the King James says, seven vials. And I told you that it's more, I like the interpretation bowls better, because when you study the pouring out of the vials, it's more like a bowl. You ever try to take, I did this the other day. I had a bowl of something and I was trying to put it in a small jar. That was a mess. I had more on the counter than I got in the jar. You know, I mean, I tilted the bowl and the problem is, what's the problem? Too much area, too much stuff coming out to go in this little jar. And I thought about our study in Revelation, the bowls. When the angel poured out the vials, or the bowls would be better, because there's so much at one time that is poured out. And that's why bowl is a better rendition than vial. Now, if I had a vial, that would have been pretty easy. You know what I mean? Huh? That would kind of be like one of these deals. Yeah, that's whoa, that cap wasn't on. Brother, I'm going to have a mess up here. All right. Whew. All right, I'm glad the Lord's in charge and I'm not. Here we go. One of the seven angels had the seven bowls filled with seven last plagues. Came to me, who's me? John. And he talked with me, John. Come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Now it's interesting. This is interesting, the different contrasts that goes on here in the book of Revelation. We have Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, that rebuilt the city of Babylon. In Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, we almost have the identical reading. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying, come, and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sets on many waters. Isn't it interesting, such a contrast? Now that same angel, we don't know the angel's name, it was one of the seven, came to John and said, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. What a contrast. The other one was, come and I'll show you the harlot. Now this angel says, come and I'll show you the Lamb's wife, the bride. That's the church. That's you and me. Whenever it talks about the bride, that's you and me. That's the church. That's the bride, the Lamb's wife. First time John saw the harlot, and the second time John sees the bride. And both of these women represent a great city. The harlot, Babylon, and the bride, the New Jerusalem. We love God's characteristics of his nature because he loves, he judges, he saves, and he condemns. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. Verse 10, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and a high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. So we see on both occasions the angel carried John away in the spirit. Now back to the first time in Revelation chapter 17 in verse 3, the angel took John into, does anybody remember that? Into the wilderness. The angel takes John into the wilderness. This time the angel takes him to a great and high mountain. The first time John sees Babylon being thrown down through violence, and this time he sees New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. Descending out of heaven. The holy city is the headquarters of the new creation. It will be the capital, would be a good way to say, New Jerusalem will be the capital of the entire world. It will be the capital of the entire world. Verse 11, having the glory of God, her light was like a most precious stone, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now you have to understand, the Lord made the sun. He created the sun. How much brighter do you suppose he will be than the sun? He is the light. The scripture says, he is the light. There'll be no need for a sun, and there'll be no need for the moon, the sun and the moon. There'll be none. Because there won't be any night. There'll be no night there. We're talking about the New Jerusalem. There'll be no night there. No night. We'll have new bodies. We won't have to sleep. There'll be no need for our body to shut down because we'll have new bodies that will not require rest. They will not require sleep. We'll have a new body. Jasper stone, clear as crystal. I'm trying to give you some characteristics of a jasper. Some refer to it as an opal, a diamond, or topaz. Crystal clear. Did you know that jasper was the first stone in the breastplate of the high priest? It is translucent like a diamond, and it symbolizes purity and holiness. Verse 12, you still with me? And also she had a great and high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates. The names written on them were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now we know that with the gates, there's 12 gates. There's not only 12 gates, but we'll read further. I'm getting ahead. There's going to be three more gates on each of the four sides in all four directions. The Lord wants access. He's desiring that this New Jerusalem, that there be access. Now, we haven't gotten to the dimensions of this holy city, but this holy city is going to be 1,500 square miles. We didn't read that yet, but we're getting there. This holy city is going to be in the shape of a perfect cube. It will be suspended just above the earth. Some have thought somehow that there would be an attachment. I don't see no reason for any attachment to the new earth, but it will be suspended above the new earth. Why is that? So there'll be access from the new earth to the holy city. There's access. There's going to be access. There's going to be activity between the two. That's why this cube is going to be suspended above the earth, the new earth, which I believe will be much larger and more habitable. The holy city will be surrounded by a thick high wall with 12 gates. I'm sorry, St. Peter won't be standing at the gates, by the way, but who will be? We were just told, angels. There'll be an angel assigned to the gate. St. Peter won't be there, but the angels will be there. And they will be assigned to each gate. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel will be written on the gate. Does anybody have any idea why that is? Here's a good suggestion. I like this. The names of the 12 tribes of Israel will be a reminder that the Messiah, the scriptures, and salvation came through who? The Jews. That's right. You know, Paul talked about it. He mentioned it. Because the Jews rejected the Messiah, that's why you and I are here today. You're Gentiles. The Jews rejected him. And because of the Jews' rejection, you and I are here today. We're here. We're Gentiles. We're adopted. I have a Jewish friend that I like to tease. I tell him, you know what? You're a true son. And if you ever really recognize your true gifts that are available to you, you'd be a different fellow. You'd be a different fellow. And I tell him, I said, I'm just adopted. I'm just adopted. You are a true son of his. Well, you are if you know Jesus. You're a true son, maybe by blood, but you need to be a true son and have a heart. Have a heart catheterization. I guess you don't want to call it. Have a heart transplant. That's better yet. Having a new heart, a heart transplant. But you and I are adopted. We're Gentiles. And I'm so thankful that he saw fit to save me. I'm so glad to be here today. Where would I be today if I didn't know Jesus as my Savior? I tell you, I probably would not be here. I'd be out serving the world in some of my own selfish things. And I'm so glad that I'm here today. The names of the 12 tribes represent the Messiah and the scriptures and salvation. Let's go on to verse 13. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. There are four sides with three gates on each side. Again, access to the holy city from every direction of the new earth. There is way to get into the new Jerusalem in every direction. God is desiring access. He's desiring access. He wants us to give access to us. I'll talk a little bit more about that. The city will have 12 foundations. I got to read the verse first. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The city will have 12 foundations. Some have said that these foundations will be stacked on top of one another and will encompass the entire base of the city. What a foundation, Elroy. Can you imagine that kind of a foundation? Here we use concrete and stone. God uses precious jewels. In this economy, precious jewels are made with bracelets and rings and necklaces. In God's economy, he uses it for a foundation. Oh, wow. You can't imagine how beautiful this is. Words quite just don't do the justice of how beautiful this new Jerusalem is going to be. A brilliance of light coming forth out of this new Jerusalem, shining through these translucent, gorgeous colors. Can you imagine a bright light shining through all these different colors of stones? Can you imagine how beautiful that must be? Wow. And here we make streets out of concrete and asphalt. There we're going to walk on streets of gold. Gold will be in abundance. I was watching a hit thing on TV the other day about the Emerald Room, or the Amber Room, rather, when the Germans took over and went into Russia and took all the gold in this amber room and put it in boxes and took it back to Germany. I was reading, they were still trying to find where all this gold got to, and they still haven't found it. Billions of dollars worth of gold in what was a room called amber. This room was adorned with gold. And here we're talking about streets of gold. Wow. How beautiful it must be. The name of the 12 apostles will be on it. The Bible tells us that the church is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and 20. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen in Acts 1 and 2. The apostles preached the gospel. They won converts. They organized congregations. They wrote scriptures and selected deacons and taught their followers. They were also threatened, beaten, imprisoned, and killed. Certainly, they have earned their right to have their names inscribed on the foundations of the holy city. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. That was the angel. We don't know what the angel's name is. The book of the Apocrypha has seven of the angels mentioned in it. That's where we've gotten some of the names of the rest of the seven angels. How many can you name? How many angels can you name? Anyone? Go ahead, just call out. What's one name of an angel you know? You should know. Christmas time. Gabriel. I heard Gabriel. That's the one that gave the shepherds message. What's the other name we have? Michael. Raphael, Michael. Michael and Gabriel are the only two that are mentioned in Scripture. I don't believe that Raphael is mentioned, but you'll find the rest of them in the book of the Apocrypha. Or when we get to heaven, we can find out what their names are. Their names aren't important anyway. You know whose name is? The name of Jesus is the important one. He's the important name to remember. Gabriel, Michael, yeah, they're just whatever. They're just not as important. They're doing their job, but they're just not as important. So this angel measured. A measuring stick in John's day was approximately, does anybody know that? I didn't know this. 10 feet long. 10 feet long. Whoa. What's the longest level you can get, Elroy? 6. They don't make them any bigger than that, do they? I don't know either. I don't know, really know that. The biggest level is 6 foot. Does anybody know they make a bigger level? I don't know. Well, anyway, it's 10 feet long. Was a measuring stick in John's day. And the angel who talked with John took a golden measuring stick to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. Verse 16. The city's laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. He measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlings. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. So that makes a square. The holy city will be a perfect square. Its length will be the same as its width. Its height will be equal to its length. And what you will find interesting, the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle was also what? A square. You might have not knew that. The measurement of the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that was pitched in the wilderness, its measurements were square. That's interesting. God's city is square. The shape of God's residence among the Jews, which was temporary, was also square. This city will be enormous. Does anybody have an idea? Let me give you some illustrations. From New York City to Dallas, Texas, that's a distance of one of the walls. From New York City to Dallas, Texas. From the East Coast to Mississippi is another wall. From the Canadian border to the Gulf of Mexico would be another wall. Are you getting the picture? How big the holy city of Jerusalem will be? Are you getting the picture? How beautiful, how immense, how huge. And then we're told about, I'm going to tell you, this part of New Jerusalem is what Jesus was referring to the disciples when he was getting ready to leave, and he had his meal, and he had communion with them. And it was this that he told them in John 14, I go away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. When Jesus told that to the disciples, he was referring to the holy city, the mansions he was referring to that he goes to prepare a place for. Not the millennium, he's talking about the New Jerusalem. Our eternal city is what he was talking about, our eternal city. In ancient Babylon, Babylon also had walls. They were 14 miles long and 14 miles wide. Small in comparison to the holy city. Small. Verse 17. He measured its wall. This measurement is the thickness of the wall. 144 cubits to the measure of man, that is of the angels. Anybody know how thick that wall would be? You're right, 216 feet. I had to do a little calculating, but it's 216 feet thick wall. Does anybody know how thick the wall of Babylon was? Mm-hmm. According to Herodotus, the wall of ancient Babylon was 87 feet thick. I believe I read somewhere it was five or six chariots could race on the top of the Babylon wall side by side. But did I read that right? I believe something like that. There was five or six chariots side by side could race on the top of the wall of Babylon. Okay, so much for that. Where are we at? Verse 18. Hey, we got to the end, and it's right on time. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. People will be able to see through it into the holy city. The light of God will beam out of the city. The city itself will be made of gold as pure as glass. Wow. Did you know that God put gold in the Garden of Eden? It was actually a garden of precious stones. It talks about a garden of precious stones. And we'll deal with that in another subject. Babylon was known as the kingdom of what? Gold. In the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had and Daniel interpreted, what did Daniel say to Nebuchadnezzar? You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. You're the head of gold. It must have went to his head because he got to talking too proudly, and God had to put him out to feed. Had to put him out to pasture would be the way to say it. He obviously went to his head, and God had to put him out to pasture for a while. And he ate grass like an ox. His fingernails and hair grew. And when he was done with that episode, he remembered it wasn't him. It wasn't his hand that got him his kingdom. But he learned through that episode that Daniel's God is the God to serve. Daniel's God is God. He is God. Yes. But we have the reading when Nebuchadnezzar walked out and he said, look what all my hands have done. And God put him out to pasture for a while. There's a God in heaven, and he is the God of gods and the King of kings. Glory, hallelujah. He's the God of gods and the King of kings. That's a good place to stop right there. We'll put a marker in there. We're going to talk, Lord willing, next Sunday about the colors in the foundation, the jasper, the sapphire, and some of them I couldn't pronounce. I had to go to the pronunciation dictionary to get some pronunciation. But there are 12 precious stones, and we'll try to give you the colors of them. And can you only imagine how beautiful it must be to have light shining through them? Oh, how beautiful. Look at the rainbow, how beautiful the rainbow is. But this, nothing, the rainbow, nothing compared to what we'll see in the foundations of this holy Jerusalem. Nothing to be compared. The beauty is just, as the apostle said, the eyes haven't seen, ears have not heard what he has prepared for those that love him. Would you stand? It's time to go home. Thank you for coming today. Thank you for being obedient to the Spirit and coming to the altar today. Heavenly Father, what a joy and privilege again it's been to be here today, to share your precious and holy word. What a joy it is. Thank you for that privilege. I just love studying your word and sharing it. And Father, I pray now that these today that have heard your word will just take it and use it in their own lives. And remember, the battle is his. It's not yours. The battle is his. Turn your battle over to him. Let him fight the battle for you. Father, we ask you now for your blessing to go upon these who've come and gathered today. We ask you to be with them and give them a wonderful week, a safe week. And Lord, be with these people in Louisiana. Lord, you can protect them. You can keep them safe. These material things, buildings, houses can be replaced, but lives are precious. So, Father, just watch over them and keep them all safe, even through this storm. Thank you for all that you'll do. Thank you for everything you've done. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Lord bless you.